can. I love that song. I love when it says the walls are coming down. I always think of all the things that are going on around us and with our children, our grandchildren, and what's going on in the world. I keep thinking it's going to come down. It's going to come down. Hallelujah. But I'm going to talk, in Jesus' name. That's right. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. But I'm going to talk about a sweet-smelling Savior. And I'm going to talk about, in the book of Psalms 34, 1 through 3, it says, I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. Hallelujah. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. And I thought this morning, I thought when we're coming together, we're going to worship the Lord. And I thought, you know, we are coming together as a group. We're not out about anywhere. We're right here. And we're going to praise God right here. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God promises great blessings to his people. But many of these blessings require active participation from us. He will set us free from fear. He will deliver us from shame. He will guard us and defend us. He will show us his kindness and his goodness. And he will supply, hallelujah, what we need. Listen, when we talk to him and when he redeems us, but we must do our part. We can appropriate his blessings when we trust him, when we cry out to him, take refuge in him, when we fear him, refrain from lying, turn from evil, do good and seek peace, are brokenhearted and humble, serve him. Hallelujah. In 2 Corinthians 2:15, it says, our lives are Christ-like fragrance rising up to God. Oh, rising up to God. Hallelujah. The praises of the saints are like sweet smelling savor as they ascend into the presence of our Heavenly Father. And if you want to be released, the power, you want to be released, the power of God in you, work in your behalf, learn the secret of the sacrifice of praise. Of the sacrifice of praise. That means praising God even when you don't feel like it. Now, I'm going to tell you the truth. Not every Sunday when I come in here, you know, there may be times that I don't feel like praising, and I'm sure you guys are the same way, but I'm going to lift my hands, and I'm going to praise his name. And you know, I know we can praise God anywhere we go, but we're in this congregation, and we're all together, and we're going to praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. If you would tap into the power source of praise, you would find yourself enjoying life to the fullest, because praise brings you into a new dimension of God's grace. God is the same God today as he was in the Old Testament. Sometimes we forget about those things. We just talk words, but it is true. The wonders and the miracles, hallelujah, that he performed for the children of Israel, he can still perform today. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that? Hallelujah, I believe it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes we don't think of words. Hallelujah. We don't really think in our minds sometimes what the meaning is. We're so used to just going over and saying the same word over and over and over, and maybe it don't even take a meaning to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We have an untapped power source in the power of praise. In the power of praise. We need to learn the power of praise. If the devil has kept any truth from the church, it is the secret of the power of praise. He has kept believers from understanding what their rights and their privileges are in Christ. And that one way we appropriate God's blessings are by our praise and our thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In faith, blessings are by our praise and thanksgiving in faith before we even see the answer. Carolyn, that's what we're doing for you. Before we even see the answer. That's what we're all doing. When I think of my children, before I even see the answer, there's going to be changes made. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But in our day and age, the church is beginning to get over into the edge of tapping into the wonderful blessings, praisings God provides for the believer. For the believer. In Psalms 107, 21 and 22, it says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children and of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving." Yes. "And declare his works with rejoicing." With rejoicing. When we give God right. praise, let's yes. rejoice in it. Let's all rejoice Hallelujah. In it this morning. Hallelujah.
Glory.
The lack of praise and thanksgiving is a spirit of the last days. Satan can throttle the power and moving of the Spirit of God if he can shut down praise and thanksgiving because of the power released in praise. Think about that. Think about yes. it. Oh, I thought about it. I've read it over and over and over. Think about what he could do if we all give up on it. Hallelujah. The church of the Lord Jesus Christ is yet to see. Hallelujah. What will happen when they consistently tap into the wonderful power of God that is released in praise and worship. This morning we need to release in praise and in worship. Hallelujah. 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 Spirit of God, have your way this morning.
Amen.
Oh, Father, yes. I pray for your will to
Hallelujah
be done.
To the Lord.
God, I pray for the Holy Ghost to be manifested
Father.
In this place this
Bless.
Morning.
Continue
God,
to
I
move.
Pray, Lord, you touch
Continue
our
to
people,
minister,
Father.
Lord.
Let us be
Hallelujah.
Bold, Father God, in your
as
word and in your
as
praise.
We enter into
Let
your
us
presence.
Worship you, Father God.
We
love you today. We know, God, that you are
Thank
the King
you,
of
Jesus.
Kings, and we know, Lord,
you
are
Jesus.
Mighty. You are mighty,
Thank you, Lord.
And you're a miracle-working God. Hallelujah. I pray this morning not one of us Sweet leave this building Spirit. The way we walked, and we'll walk out of here with a praise on our lips. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Scripture says those who endure to the end shall be saved. That means it's going to be a battle. That means it's going to be a fight. But you must figure on staying and fighting. Trust me. Many battles I've faced trying to on my own abilities. I'd rather run. I'd rather melt into the background. But when we stay and fight, in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the trouble. Psalms chapter 11, reading 7 verses. In the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to your mountain? For look, the wicked bend their bow. They make ready their arrow on the string, that they may shoot secretly at the upright in heart. That's God's children. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The Lord is in his holy temple. He's here today. He's in every temple that's his. The Lord's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold. His eyelids test the sons of men. Verse 5. The Lord tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone. A burning wind shall be the portion of their cup. There you can stick in Sikkim Holy Ghost. But verse 7, for the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. Father, we just thank you today. The message for the hour is for us to fight. You've given us every piece of weaponry for warfare. You've given us mighty examples in your word of those who fight, that who know to stand and stand tall and stand still to see the salvation of the Lord. We're here to fight. We're here to stay in the battle, not to turn and run, because God, all of our weaponry is on the front side of us. Your Holy Ghost has our back. And we thank you for it. We thank you, O Lord, for all your time that you've given us. Excellent is your name. Yes, Lord, we believe in miracles. Yes, Lord, we pray many times. Hear our praise, hear our worship, hear our prayers. And yes, salvation is free. Thanks be unto God for his amazing grace. Stands firm and stands tall. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Worship team, if you want to, you can go down. If not, just be seated back there. Same chairs up here as back down there. But I want to take the privilege right now. We have a few runners. Thank you. Stop and think of who we're talking about. David. Man, the stories of David go up and down, inside and outside, right side and upside down. Even when they were self-inflicted, things that he knew he shouldn't be doing, and he went ahead and did. But what a powerful fighter he was. What a man of God he became. Through it all, he stayed and fought the good fight, as Paul says. The psalm can have an excellent application for all of us in all of our lives today. Stay and fight is David's theme here and should be our own theme. You can place David's life into three different categories. One, the country years. These were the years of his life that became informative. Teaching years, training years. Yes, we got to go through trials and tribulations, issues and problems. Lots and lots of drama. But we must do one thing. Allow the Holy Ghost to teach us. Yeah. Teach us the mighty art of fighting the good fight. Yeah. Yeah. The country years were the formative years where he learned how to worship, how to love God. These years made him a saint. Think about that. even in committing murder, infidelity. Through those trials and tribulations, while out in the field, fighting the bear, fighting the animals off. Those were training years for David. He learned his lessons quite well. Are you? Or do you whine and snivel all the time? The Bible calls that murmuring and complaining. In our terminology today, it's whining and sniveling. Boo-hoo, wah-wah. Suck it up, that's why we got tissues. We need that mentality of staying and fighting. David and Goliath, what a story that was. He made up in his mind that he wasn't going to let no giant take it with his God. Because there's no other God than the God of Israel. We know him as Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. All three into one. Jesus Christ came willingly to pay the price. He gives us the Holy Spirit to fight the fight. Hello. These years made him a saint. We think sometimes Sister Karen just gets up to fill some time. But she takes a lot of effort into learning and putting things together, replaying them in her mind over and over again. I never tell her what I'm going to preach on. I might have once or twice. You don't even know at Christmas time I'm going to preach on the babe in swaddling clothes. You can't even guarantee it. Easter that I preach, well, that one I got to preach is a salvation message. Because we all need saved. Ooh, you missed a good spot to say amen. God needs to get us prepared to receive the harvest that is before us. We need that preparation time. We need the country years of David. The second category you can put him in is the cave years. Those were when he was the fugitive, running for his life, being chased down by a king from one end of the country to the other by Saul's bloodhounds. He learned warfare in these caves and how to lead men, and he became a good, you could call him a great soldier. The apple of God's eye. Are you the apple of God's eye? He wants you to be. He needs you to be. Each and every one of them, right where you're at. He's got the country years for you to learn, worship, and praise, fight the good fight of faith. But the warfare years, the cave years, living in the country. But then the last category we can look at is the court years. This was the faithful years where he never knew whether he would still have his head on his shoulders from one day to the next. Well, for matter of fact, from one morning, afternoon, evening. Never knew whether he'd be alive. This was not only the times in Saul's day, but even after he became the king of Israel, David, but he would learn wisdom and how to limit himself in the courts. It was here that he learned to be wise. To be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove. When we read what David wrote, we can all relate because there are times in life when a crisis may still settle in on us, so that we have a tendency to want to throw in the towel and say, I'm out of here. Beam me up, Jesus. I'm ready. But God's not ready for you. Or you wouldn't have any thing in the decision making anyhow. What we find in this Psalms is a sense of confidence. Confidence that will prevail. You can make it. You can be that encourager to those people around you. You can be the one that fights the good fight of faith and say, devil, you're a liar. Satan, get thee behind me. And he's got to get behind you. I like one of the words that President Donald Trump is using. Never heard it before till just recently. We got a bunch of panickins. I guess they gave up on the snowflakes. But panickins, we worry, we sit around and think too much. I mean, David in the caves could have thrown in the towel and said, I'm tired of this. But he didn't. He said, I'm going to do it by the grace of God. Those around David are filled with panic, but David has a calm about him. We will always find it true that there are two voices in our walk of faith. One who pushes fear and one that speaks faith. We have the proverbial devil on one side and the Holy Ghost on the other side, however you want to put it in your mind. But what does everything in our world today push us to fear, to anxiety? To worry, to, oh, I got so much concern for my family. Everything is going to be all right. Everything is going to be all right. It might take us a while to get into the doctors, but everything's going to be all right, sis. We know it. We know it. Everything is going to be all right. I'm here to say, whose report are you going to believe? I'm going to believe the report of the Lord. I'm going to believe what he gives to us in his word. Finances aren't going to be any issues because God is our provider. Our healing is no issue. The stumbling block that we have before us, the bumps and the curves and the mud holes, aren't going to stop us. Why? Because my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And the final chapter says, I win. Even if the devil takes your life, we still win. We still win. Young people, I want to speak to you right here. Daniel was 8 years old when he purposed in his heart, when he made up his mind. It doesn't matter whether you're a teenager or elementary, middle-ager, over-the-hill gang. I thank God for pain. I always have in the back of my mind, Sister Shoemaker, you know, Brother Tracy, if it don't hurt, it don't work. Man, my body must really be working. How about yours? But we can always pray, even so, Lord Jesus, come. Come quickly. Redeem us. Everything in our world. I mean, bunch of panickins. Worry about stuff they don't even know about. Stuff that we can't do anything about anyways. Yet. Thank you. We'll cut that one off. In the first four verses we see in the book of Psalms, chapter 12, or chapter 11, the first three verses is David's security. He doesn't trust in his own abilities and capabilities, but he trusts in the Lord, the one who never let him down. He let God down, but God never let him down. God was always right there. God will always be there right for you in a time of trouble, in a time of need. Look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. God is still on the throne. Jesus Christ still sits at his right hand, making intercession for us. Fear will be all around us. I don't even know what COVID level we're on now. What vaccination? Last I heard was 17. Does that make sense? And there's people who had all 17 of them. Nutso wackos. I trust in God. Amen. The first three verses are the security of the saint. We don't a lot of times think of David as a saint, but that's what he ended up being, a child of the king. Not King Saul, but King Jesus. Because David saw a glimpse of him and all his issues. No mountain can even compare to the Lord's refuge. We have sanctuary cities today. We have sanctuary states. Not like biblical days where you're stupid or accused of it. You could go to certain cities and take refuge there. And they couldn't come and kill you. But I know David in Hebrews 6, chapter 18. It says that by two immutable things cannot be changed. You can't argue it because God defends his word. By two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. We need God's hope in the battlefield. We need the hope of Jesus Christ that soon and very soon he's going to split the eastern sky. But we can take hope in the consolation prize that the Holy Ghost is with us. He's here to empower us, to strengthen us, to help us. And the Lord's presence or the Lord's refuge can only be found in His presence. There's such a calming time within the presence of the Lord. Battle, in the heat of the battle, God's strength, God's power will always show up. Jesus Christ is our refuge now. He is our answer for every difficulty that we face. Comparing the Old Testament to the New Testament, a sanctuary for distressed souls in the Old Testament, a place that was easy to approach. Why? Because it sat upon a hilltop. Thank God for a sanctuary city to dwell in. But what a refuge we have in Christ. In spite of knowledge of the Lord being a refuge for us, there are times when we do not clearly understand or grab a hold of that concept. David even shared that, though he thought about running, but what did he do? He stayed and fought through his problem. He paid the price. We think it's difficult. But Jesus Christ's obedience to the cross, that was difficult. But you know something? He'd do it all over again. And He'd do it just for you. The cross and Jesus Christ crucified. When the diagnosis is cancer, you must stay and fight the fight of faith. When the weight of suffering is dragging you down and you don't know what to do, you must stay and fight. When your emotions are so negative and faithless, you got to stay and fight. When your responsibilities seem bigger than you are, you must stay and fight the good fight of faith. What separates us from success and failures? You ready for the answer for this? Grit and determination. Brother Bill, you call it stubbornness. I call it grit. Am I right? We're all stubborn. But stay and fight the fight of faith. Would you stand with me? Three words in the title of this message. Stay and fight. Last song we sang was Dancing on the Grave. The devil has each one of us by the nape of our neck. Was having a heyday with us. But yet we decided to stay and fight. How did we fight? the battle. I fight on my knees. Because when I am weak, He is strong. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I ask or think, according to the power that works within us. Jesus spoke three words and then immediately died. Those three words, it is finished. What do we have to lose than all of our peace, all of our strength, when we don't stay and fight? Would you bow your heads with me? Isaiah chapter 33, verse 15 and 16 says, "He who walks righteously and speaks uprightly, he who despises the gain of oppressions, who gestures with his hands refusing bribes, who stops his ears from hearing of bloodshed, and shuts his eyes from seeing evil." Those who do that will dwell on high. His place of defense will be the fortress of rocks. Bread will be given to him. His water will be sure. That tells me that the Lord loves those who do righteous acts. But we can't earn salvation. It's freely given. The Lord sustains us in every adversity, every challenge, every panicking moment, every moment of anxiety, worry, and fret. The Lord touches us with close communion. But most importantly, the Lord moves us toward the world which is to come. I've got an eternal mansion waiting on me. Do you? If you can't say, "Yes, I got one," I want to take an opportunity to pray with you. I want to lead you to a man that paid the ultimate price. He won our victory. It is finished. We might as well stay and fight the fight. Why? Because with our mouth, and man, we got mouths, don't we? You can speak cursings, or you can speak blessings. You know what the Holy Ghost wants to do. But I want to pray with you. If you say, "Pastor, that's me," I don't care how old you are, raise up your hand and say, "God is talking to me." Maybe you're on our live stream. Maybe you're like David in the midst of doing stupid things. Sounds like most of our teenagers. I can still remember being a teenager, believe it or not. It's what I had for dinner yesterday that bothers me. But I know what you're going through. I was rebellious. I did everything opposite of what Mom and Dad taught me. But I decided to stay and fight. I wanted to keep my family together. What a change. You can have that same change by simply repeating a prayer after me. And I'm going to ask our congregation to repeat the prayer after me. Heavenly Father, I come to you, a sinner today and instantaneously a saint, engrafted in to the family of God. Thank you, Jesus, for paying the price. That sacrificial lamb of God. Thank you, Lord, for changing the path of my life in the direction toward righteousness. Thank you for forgiveness. How amazing is your grace. In Jesus' name I pray. If you watching on our live stream said that prayer with us, I want you to get on to our prayer request page and shoot us a message saying just that you got saved and that you want our prayers to continue. We'll pray for you. Guarantee, no matter where you're at in the world, whether you're here in the United States or on the other side of the world, Jesus still loves you and died for you. Father, it's so wonderful to be saved and on fire for you. God, I think we're going to stay and fight. Because guess what? Devil's a liar, father of all lies, and yes, Jesus won the victory. We win. We win. I win. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Set us all ablaze. Set us on fire. Attraction to the sinners of this world. Help us be the beacon of hope, because we have the answer. The answer is the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We can't forget the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, for sanctification. In Jesus' name.
Monday I went in for a mammogram and not expecting anything to be showing up or anything, but Tuesday I woke up to a message in my chart saying that they found a mass and they wanted to do further testing. So talking about panic, I started freaking out. I immediately called Judy and asked her to put me on a prayer chain and got the ultrasound scheduled, and they did it 2 days later. And that day, I had the results. They said that it was not anything to worry about. It was just a cluster of cysts. So...